Welcome to the Christian Life Center Sermon Podcast, where we share Sunday sermon for you to listen during your week.
Well, anyway, this morning I want to talk to you. I've entitled my sermon this morning. It's a two-part sermon or a two series I'm going to do over this week and next week, and it's simply entitled this, Words That Will Change Your Life. And so I want to talk to you about words that will change your life, all right? So today we're going to focus on two words that I believe will change your life. And if it's okay with you this morning, if it's okay, I'd like to introduce this sermon this morning in two parts. Is that all right? Okay, good, because I was going to do it anyway, whether you like it or not. So that's the way I planned it. So but we're going to do it kind of in two, introduce the words in two different segments here. So we're gonna break it down one word at a time this morning, but there are two words that will change your life. And so the first word I want to jump in today is the word, this word will change your life, is the word but. The word but. But is a great example of why I believe I'm not overstating the claim about this particular sermon, that two words that will change your life. Two words that will change everything about us. Some of you may say, now, Pastor East, really? Come on. But two words that will change my life, and this is one of them, but? The very existence, hear me this morning, of the word but. I know it doesn't seem like a lot. I know it's only three letters, one syllable. But the existence of this word is evidence that humanity had to invent, right? Humanity had to invent something in language that would describe a moment when everything changed. But. That's what we do with this word but in grammar. We use it to indicate a shift. We use it to indicate a change, right? And these things can change pretty quickly in a moment in our lives. And if you don't believe me that things can change quickly, I've got some sentence examples up here that in just a moment that you'll see on the screen that might give you a better idea of what I mean when I say but can change everything. So the first three, these 33 sentences I'm going to give you are all true. They're not made up. This really happened. But I want you to follow along with me. Here's the first one. It'll be on the screen for you. My daughter woke up at 3 a.m. screaming there was a spider in her bed. Now, this really happened. And when she started screaming, it was about 3 a.m., it was an orchestra of tears and shouting. And my wife and I woke up, obviously, in a stir, right? If I was honest, it was my wife who got up. And something has to be bad for me to wake up, for me to even get out of bed. Like, it has to smell like smoke and screaming, right? If it's just one of those, I'm not getting out of bed, right? I'm just going to stay where I'm at. But she gets up, she checks on her, and I don't know this, how many of you know that if there's a spider in your house, we've got a problem, right? So this can't happen, y'all. So this all happens, true things. But it was just a dream. It was just a dream. Scared her pretty much, but I have to be honest, I have to take ownership for it as I actually put like a fake spider in a thing and put it in her room one day just to scare her, and I think it stayed with her and caused an amazing dream, right? Here's the thing. Things change. The first half of the sentence wasn't good news. My daughter's screaming, there's a spider in it. But the second half was great news. It was just a dream. Here's another example. True story. My wife once wrecked our $500 minivan. Right? True. We were getting ready to move, and we had planned to sell it. Once we were at a church, they donated to us. 5 years earlier, we had kept this thing, ran it into the ground, and we said, we're getting ready to move to New England, and I said, we're going to sell this thing. Well, if we could just get $500, we're not taking it with us. I don't know if it would make the trip. And I'm like, let's just sell this thing, and we could just get out of it. And about a week or two before we were to move, we're getting ready to sell this thing, she gets in a wreck and messes this whole thing up. And now I'm so mad that we're not going to get anything for this car. I just wanted $500. But it wasn't her fault, and the insurance gave us $2,700. Good thing. It's a good story. But, I like that but. Last one. Braden fell down the basement stairs. True story. He was a little kid, like a little infant, barely crawling. My daughter was young. She had a friend over before school. The parents of this other girl would always drop her kids off, for we carpooled. And so they were early in the morning. They're running around, and Rachel did the unthinkable, what you're not supposed to do. She left the basement door open, and our son goes, as a little kid, little baby, goes crawling down. Well, he ends up falling down the basement stairs. So you can imagine, as my wife and I have to take him to the hospital, he seemed fine, but we were like, well, we got to check him out. And we're like, we're probably going to leave in handcuffs. We were worried about it. But he was fine. He was fine. I mean, can you feel the hope in the butt, right? The first part of the sentence is so scary. So we're like, what happens? What's the ending? And then you hear the word but. Maybe you've experienced that. You heard the word but, and you're like, okay, the story doesn't end here. There's more to it. Did you see how the word but can change everything? It could change the whole outcome of the sentence. The word but, hear me, I believe this morning, the word but is proof positive that just because a situation seems to be heading in one direction doesn't mean it will end like where it seems it's heading. Just because something starts one way doesn't mean that it has to end that way. Just because the diagnosis says there's no cure doesn't mean that there won't be a cure. But anything can change. The word but is powerful. But you know, there's an irony is that even as I say that, you think to yourself, yeah, but. I hear you, Pastor. Yeah. God can do anything, but you don't know my situation. You know, I know, you might say, I know God, good things are on the way, but I've never really experienced that. You might say, well, I know I need to get out of debt. I know I can get out of debt eventually, but you don't know. You can't even seem to receive what God has for you because you're so overwhelmed with the but. And here's the difference between both these examples. In the first example, I started with the reality and interrupted it with hope. In the second set of examples, it started with hope. I started with hope and interrupted it with reality. And here's what I wonder this morning for us, CLC. I wonder if your reality has interrupted your hope. Has your reality interrupted your hope? Have you ever saw your life heading one way, believing God for one thing, but in the middle of that one thing, but always creeps in? But always creeps in. There's a man in the Bible who I think we can relate to. His name is Paul, and he writes this amazing scripture, incredible scripture. I think it kind of is our mantra for most of us, or should be. But he writes this amazing scripture in Romans 7:18, and this is what he says. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. But I can't carry it out. Paul is saying, I know what I need to do, like all of us. I know what sin is and what sin's not, like all of us. I know what's a good choice and what's a bad choice. But Paul is saying, I desire these things. I have this desire. I just don't have the discipline. I just don't have the discipline. He's like, I want to grow. I want to take steps closer to Christ, but, and here's what, he's not just saying this, catch this morning. He's not just saying, but he's also adding something very important. He says, but I cannot carry it out. But I, how many of you know that but I is the greatest interrupter of dreams? Greatest interrupter of ambition, of hope, of inspiration, of movement, of faith. But eyes are the great interrupters of belief. But eyes are the great interruption of service. But eyes are always going to be the greatest interrupters to what God wants to do in your life. But I wrote a couple of examples down. They'll be on the screen, and hopefully maybe you can connect with one or two, but this is kind of some thoughts I have, right? This is a lot of things I hear as a pastor. Here's a couple. I want to do good, but I cannot seem to make it work. I want to serve more in my church, but I just don't have the talent or time. I want to give financially, but there will be nothing left for me. I have ambition, but I don't have the ability. I have this dream, but I'm too old. I want my kids to serve God in their teen years, but I was a crazy teenager. I know what to do, but I am afraid. I want to change, but I have my own preferences. I want a healthy marriage, but I can't seem to make the effort. I love my family, but I am not happy. I really want to have faith, but I never seem to make it work. But I. Now, if I was a psychologist, I would tell you that you are struggling. If you let the but I in your life, I would tell you that you're struggling with the concept of limiting beliefs. What are limiting beliefs? Limiting beliefs are a set of convictions about core convictions about yourself, the world, or others that are reinforced by history or other experiences. So they're core convictions about yourself, your world, and others that are reinforced by history or other experiences. But I'm not a psychologist. I'm a pastor. So I'm going to speak to you just like a pastor. Here's your problem. You know what your problem is this morning? Your butt's too big. Your butt's too big. I'm just crazy enough to believe that our history as a church here at CLC, I'm just crazy that our history as a church and the journey of your life has been filled with but I moments. But I. Sometimes it's good to stop and reflect on the but I's. How many opportunities have we lost because of but I? How many times has God tried to speak to us or to direct our lives, but the but I has won? I always wonder, what will we miss as a church because our but I's have been the measuring stick? What will we miss because we've measured everything by the but I? Have you ever been, I don't know, think about this for a minute. Have you ever been excited about something one day you'll have these bouts of motivation and inspiration. You're like, you're so excited. And then the very next day comes along and that thing that inspired you now fills you with dread and fear because you understand the work and the effort that follows what motivated you and what inspired you. Like I think my wife is a wonderful example because she'll get these motivations and inspires and say, let's paint the bathroom. And it's an exciting thing. Guess what? Till you start painting the bathroom. All motivation, inspiration seems to be gone when you realize all the work that's involved, right? Some of you are like, let's plant a garden. We'll have tomatoes and carrots and lettuce and all these wonderful, and we'll just, it'll be wonderful until you realize the work that's involved in it. Then you said, one day you said, let's have kids. Come on. Let's have kids. It'll be wonderful. They'll love us. They'll grow up. They'll be pretty. They'll make us lots of money and they'll do all these things. And then you have kids and you're like, oh, that's some work. That's how faith is for many of us. We see the joy in it. We see the reason for it. We know that it's the right path, and it can be exciting following Christ, but we can't help but see past our limitations. This morning, I want to be vulnerable with you this morning, and I think that's the best way to lead as a pastor. I think that it's the best way to communicate vulnerability. I don't ever want to pretend that I'm up here and I have it all figured out and all together. But I love pastoring you. I love our community. I love our church. And coming here 8 months ago, I still daily wake up with those rah-rah, highly inspired and motivated feelings in my life. But I have to be honest, sometimes I have a lot of but I. Notice what I said, but I. But I struggle with insecurities and vulnerabilities. Consistently wrestling sometimes, but can I lead this church? But can I impact this community? Because there's no doubt in my mind, there's no doubt that God has called us, no doubt that God has divinely positioned us to be here, but I wrestle sometimes as can I fulfill that call? It's my limiting beliefs that are around me. It's done a lot. I've done a lot. My wife and I have done a lot in the church world. We youth pastored highly successful churches, highly successful youth ministries. I was a college professor. I've a district official. I've got college degrees, but now I'm pastoring. Pastoring a church with a legacy, but a church also that's had a rough spot. And there are days I wake up and I say, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. Like, not that I don't know that I'm supposed to be here, but I don't know if I have the answer. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how. What should you do? I don't know. I just don't know. And listen, we have seen God, my wife and I have seen God do incredible things in our lives personally, and you've seen God do incredible things in your life personally. We've been successful at every ministry assignment that God has given us. God has been faithful with us, and he has blessed us with so much. And you know what, God, you probably could sit out there today and say, God has been faithful with so many things in my life as well. And you would think, taking all that into consideration, that there would be this confidence, almost arrogance, that we've got this thing figured out. We should know how to do this. We should walk in and be like, we got this. But I. It doesn't make sense, but I. And here's God, I think every time, for both all of us, but I'll just say me, for all of us, but for me, here's God, every time I worry, and every time I doubt, and every time I feel my limitation, I think I hear God talking to me, and he's like, really, Heath? Really? Really? How many more lives have to be impacted? How many more success stories need to be told for you to realize it was never about you in the first place? It was never about you in the first place, but it was about me. It was about what I did. It's about what I will do. Not even through you, but in spite of you. During COVID, we basically became homeschoolers. Our kid always went to public school. Braden always went to public school. But during COVID, my wife and I became homeschool parents, right? And we saw our roles, or at least I defined our roles this way. She's the teacher, and I'm just the emotional support, or the enforcer, whatever you want to call it. So when he needed emotional support, that's where I stepped in. So during that time, Braden really struggled with homeschool format. Not because Braden wasn't smart or he's intelligent, but he would just rather be playing video games and talking to his friends all day. And so he was struggling one day with math in particularly, and I would say to Braden, you've got to go do your work, bro. You got to get your work done. And he would come up with, this is exact words he would say, but I can't, but I'm tired, but I don't know how, but I can't figure it out. And here was my emotional support to him. Go see mom. Go see mom. And I can't figure it out, Dad. I don't know what to do. And I said, yeah, but mom is here to help. And when I said, but mom, you would think that his response, like the way he looked at me, the way he responded to me, like you would think that was the first time that he was ever been told that he had a mom. And I remember looking at me, and he looked at me and he said, mom would help me? I said, yeah, bro, she's your teacher. Of course she'll help you. And he's like, will she help me? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Of course, she called Rachel to help. But it shifted when it went from but I to but mom. It shifted when it went from but I to but mom. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I understand you go through seasons, and I understand that not everybody and every day is perfect in your life, and I understand that we have ups and we have downs. I understand. I understand all those things, but, and here's where the word changes in your life. Remember I said two parts. I understand all those things, but, here's the second word, but God. But God. But God, can I encourage us this morning? It'll be on the screen, but put your human limitations. We need to put our human limitations in the context of divine intervention. Our human limitations. How many of you know with God, all things are possible? With God, all things are possible. You may not be able to do it, but God. Not but I, but God. Let me do it this way for you this morning as I get ready to close out. Let me do it this way. Let me let the Bible preach this morning. How about that? Let's let the Bible preach this point. Watch this morning. They'll go quickly on the screen. Psalm 73, 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Genesis 50, 20. Don't you see you planned evil against me, but God. Use these same plans for my good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. 1 Samuel 23, 14. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. Job 33, 27 and 20. I messed up my life, and let me tell you, it wasn't worth it. But God stepped in and saved me from certain death. I'm alive again. Once more, I see the light. Psalms 27, 10. My father and mother walked out and left me, but God took me in. 2 Chronicles 20, 15. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the very vast army, for the battle is not yours. Romans 5, 8. What's it say? But demonstrated his great love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 7, 5 through 6, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, confidence on the outside, fears within. Who confronts the downcast comforted us. And probably the last one of my favorite, if I could just speak this over to your life, first service, Isaiah 30, 18 says, but God's not finished. But God's not finished. But God. Marriage is in trouble, but God. Discouraged today in the room, can I just say, but God? You might have been given a bad diagnosis, but God. No money in the bank, but God. Kids, grandkids not living a faith life, can I just say to you, but God? It's a different story when we lean in on him. It's a different story when we trust in him. It's a different story when you give God's word prominence in your life. How many know that God's word is powerful? But God's word doesn't work if you don't give God's word the last word. It doesn't work. If you don't give God's word the last word, it doesn't work. I'm going to illustrate this morning. I have three people that are supposed to help me real quick. And I'm going to illustrate it as I close this way for you this morning. I went out and I got... I don't know if I can lift it. Oh, that is heavy. You don't believe me. That's heavy. I ain't faking it. So real quick, Kim, come stand here. And Patrick's going to stand here. And Pastor Steve will stand next to Patrick. All right? And so you guys can step up here. So I went out. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the situation. Right? I'm gonna ask Kim if she'll help me by trying to pick up this over 70-pound kettlebell, right, is really, really heavy. So and just if you want, Kim, would you try to pick that up for me? One-handed. No, you can do two. Go, can you? Here's the deal. It's not happening. Right? She can't lift it. Now, no offense to Kim, because Kim represents everybody in the room today, so I'm not trying to be offensive to her, but the reality is she's weak, right? But here's the reality. Aren't we all weak? We're all weak. We're all weak, right? So real quick, can three of you hold hands for me just a minute? Just hold hands. There you go. So three of them, they're going to hold hands. Here's the frustrating thing. She's in a relationship with God. I know that Kim loves God, and I know that all of you love God. We're in a relationship with God. We want to serve him. We want to do the best, right? And she's all those things, but she still can't do what the preacher says, right? I come in here preach to you every day, and you're like, why can't I still do what the preacher says I should be able to do? Why, you know, I can't. I'm discouraged sets in, and all these things happen to me, and I'm reading the Bible, and but it's not reflecting in my life what it says I can do. And you might be in the same situation, but look, can I tell you why? Here's why. Not because she's not in a relationship, Steve's representing God. Not that because she's not in a relationship with God. but because of the way she's framed and phrased the sentence. Here's what she's saying. I know that God is strong, but I am weak. She's phrased the whole sentence. I know that God is strong, but I am weak. How many know that that's the wrong way to phrase it? And if that's the phrase that's in your mind, you will never be able to do what God says you can do. I know God's strong, but I am weak. You may say, I know that Jehovah Rapha is the God that heals, but the doctor said. You may say, well, I know that Jehovah Jireh is the God that provides, but man, look at, I only have so much. And as long as, hear me this morning, as long as your words have the last words, you will never be able to do what God said you could do. As long as your words have the last words, you'll never do. But if you give God's word the last word, watch this. You let go, move. Pastor Steve, come down here. Okay, switch. You can let go of his hand and grab it this way. Grab his hand. Grab hands. All right, so we move the characters, right? But if you give God's words the last word, things will change. Listen, I know that I am weak, but pick that up for me. He is strong. You hang on to it, Pastor Steve. I know that I am weak, but he is strong. I know that I am weak, but how many know your God is strong? I know that I'm poor, but God is my provider. I know that I feel alone, but the Bible says that God is always with me. I know that I may be lost, but he is my redeemer. I know that I feel desperate, but God will provide for me. I know that I have feel fear and anxiety, but he is my comforter. Because when I am weak, he is strong. He is strong. Thank you. Philippians 4:13, right? It reminds us, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. There's always going to be a but in our lives, right? It's just a matter of what connotation the but takes. Is it a but I, or is it a but God? In the midst of everything, I know that I'm weak. I know that I'm going to have times of seasons in my life where I just feel like, is God there? Is he really? And it's all about but. Yeah, tough times. Yeah, I feel alone. Yeah, I feel desperate. Yeah, if the diagnosis isn't good, go on and on. But when I'm weak, he is strong. When I can't lift it and when I can't carry it, God can. Let me give you two applications this morning as we close. I would just simply say this to you this morning. This week, can I encourage you, number one, take time and look hard at your butt. Look hard at your butt. What are the buts in your life that are paralyzing you for what God has for you? What are the things in your life that are paralyzing you for what God has for you? Maybe you're saying, but I'm too old. Maybe you're saying, I'm too young, but I've messed up, but I've got nothing to give. Whatever that may be, what's the but in your life that's paralyzing you? Look hard at what your limiting belief is. What do I tell myself about me that stops me from stepping into what God has for me? What is it? Do that this week. Take time to look and examine your heart. Make that your time every morning or every evening to sit down and say, God, what's the but in my life that's stopping me from what you want me to do? And the second thing, application is very simple. I just say this, understand who God is independent of who you are. How many of you know you're not even on the same wavelength as God? Try to understand who God is independent of who you are. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He is so independent of you. Understand who God is independent of you, right? He is great. And when you are weak, he is strong. Amen? Father, this morning, I thank you for this privilege we had to be together to worship you and to lift you up and exalt you. Lord, I pray that we'd be reminded today, more than anything else, that God, the butt eyes in our life have hindered us from living at a greater level of influence that you have called us to do and called us as a church to be. Lord, the reality is, no matter who we are, human, we're fallible, we're all these things, God, but one thing we can take for sure, in the midst of our inadequacy, you are strong. You are strong. Help us today, God, to rely on you and depend on you. Help us to erase all the things, the negativities in our lives that keep us from living at a bigger level. Don't allow preferences, don't allow fears, don't allow insecurities to ever enter into a place where it keeps us from being who you have called us to be. Not just individually, God, but as a church. That we can take heart in knowing that no matter what we face, we can always say, but God. But God, I may be going through a hard time, but God. I may not be feeling great, but God. I may be experiencing some discouragement in my life, but God. I may be feeling like, is there no hope, but God. I may feel like, is this all worth it, but God. Lord, may your name be prominent in our life. May your word have the last word. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 This morning, are the Gilberts here? Yeah, come on up. Didn't see them sneak in. Before we close out today, many of you might know Dr. Gilbert and the Gilbert family. 8 years of being in Montana, I'm assuming 8 years of being at CLC because this was Jen's church, you know, she's probably had her diaper changed somewhere along this way in this church somewhere. And many of you know the family and all that's involved. And so this is really a set. Look how cute these little girls are. Wow, how do you guys do that? Usually you're not this cute. Just kidding. High weights. This is their last Sunday with us. And so we are very, very sad. I remember when the Gilberts came and talked to me right down here somewhere and said, hey, we have this opportunity in Mobile, Alabama, to take a promotion. And so I just prayed against it in Jesus' name, but I think it was like the next day we saw them and they're like, we took it, you know, the job came through. And so it's with tremendous sadness that this family leaves us. And families come and go. And we know that in church things happen, and you're so, you know. But if we felt it important, this family has their fingerprints and DNA all over our church. And so we felt it important as a church that we recognize this wonderful family, but we pray for them too. And moving is not always easy when you have kids. Family's still here, and it's somewhat new. I mean, this guy's from Alabama. If you ever heard him talk, you can talk to him after church, and you'll know quickly. But it's a big time. Moving's big. Kids in school, new churches, and all those things. And so we want to send them off with the greatest anointing and blessing that we can. We have flowers we're going to give you and a card we wanted to give you as well. And you'll have to give them back because we're doing it again in the second service. We didn't buy you two flowers, all right? So just so you know. But would you guys join? Isn't this a beautiful family? I mean, And we want to recognize they have contributed to this church, and it's important for us to send them in the right way. And the best way we know how to send them is to pray over them. And so, Pastor Steve, would you want to join me? I don't know if Pastor Matt's in here, but why don't we, and Kim's here, would you guys join me? Let's pray a prayer over this amazing family. And yeah, Jan, come on up too. Father, we just come to you today and we thank you for the Gilbert family. I thank you that first and foremost, this is a family that loves you, that honors you, that desires to serve you, to have you lead first in their home. And so I just ask, God, that your hand of protection, your hand of blessing and provision would be upon their lives, Lord Father. Lord, I pray for their kids today as they make this transition. Lord, I pray that they would find new godly friends. That God, they'd be raised in a school that loves you, that honors you first. That God, that you would have your hand upon them, that they would find new friends that will, as they would grow stronger and stronger in a love for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for Chris and Jen today as they make this transition. As exciting as it can be, there's fear, I'm sure. There's newness, there's worry, and the unknown. But Lord, we just pray your blessing upon their lives. That God, that every turn, there would just be an assurance that this is your plan and that this is your calling. So Lord, I pray your anointing upon them, Lord Father. I pray that as they go to Mobile and they carry CLC with them, I pray that their words would be life to those around them. God, that their experiences would draw people closer to you. Lord, so I just pray that you would bring them new influence of friends to come around them, to join arms with them, and to encourage them. Lord, we want to thank you in advance for what they've meant to our church. Thank you for the times that they volunteered in different ministries throughout our church. And we just ask, God, that you would honor them for that. Lord, may this next journey they take be restful. May it be peaceful. But Lord, may the joy of the Lord consume them, I pray. Lord, we love you and we honor you. Thank you for the Gilbert family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give it up for the Gilberts one more time? Thank you so much. Let me pray a blessing over you. Lord, I pray blessings upon your people today. May your face shine about them. Lord, may you provide for them at every turn. May you watch over them and keep them. Lord, we love you and we honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Life Center Sermon Podcast. To learn more about our church and the ministries we offer, visit our website at missoulachurch.com. Have a great week.